Hey everyone, thanks so much for stopping by the Gary V Audio Experience once again. Today, we have a continuation of yesterday's podcast. Yesterday, we put a keynote out. It was 1 hour at the Creator Festival over in Germany. This is the second part of that keynote. It's an interview, and it has a ton of stuff in here that I know a lot of you have never heard Gary say before. You really, really hope you enjoy it. So if you did, please tweet Gary at Gary V. If you have feedback, tweet Gary at Gary V. Please leave us a review, join the Discord if you can, and most importantly, enjoy the episode.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Gary.
Yes.
Your voice is good.
Yeah, it held up.
Yeah, so you forgot about it, right?
When I'm in the zone, I forget about everything.
So that was an amazing exercise you did with him. May you share with us what you're not so proud of in your life you have done in the past?
I think that I just really, you know, when I talk about accountability and I blame myself for everything, you know, my father was such an aggressively combative communicator that, and also like that young man, is very good at truth and values it very much. My mother and I, we like to be a little bit more clever and keep it inside. And my father was very passionate that I just would tell him. The problem was, anytime you told my father anything, the reaction was overly aggressive. So it started to train me subconsciously to not, you know, go there. I am super happy that my first career was with my dad, and I'm incredibly happy that my next career was with my brother. But if I'm being naked, I could have done a better job in communicating to them because I was the driving force of the businesses. My brother is remarkable. He was always weary of it because he saw what happened with my dad. So he was doing his part. He was pushing and prodding me and gave me openings. My father gave me no opening to tell him my feelings. My brother gave me openings, and I wouldn't take them because I didn't want to hurt his feelings and tell him that I felt that I was contributing more, even when he was acknowledging it. So financially, in my first 42 years of my life, I'm 46, between building my father's business and building Vayner, you know, I really put myself in a precarious spot by not being candorous, where I created resentment, and this goes back to the candor. And the reality is I believe in what I say on stage here. That wasn't their fault, that was my fault. And so it's challenging for me to, you know, be in a place where I have all this good and have these great relationships. I'm incredibly close with my father and brother, but yet, to this day, notice the number I gave myself on stage. I'm still a 5. It's unbelievably ingrained to me not to tell people what's hurting me because I feel that I can absorb it and I'm so emotionally strong that I can make it good in the end. It just doesn't always work out that way.
I have so many questions and so many topics I would love to talk to you about, but time is very limited. So I want to come to the point. You're such a successful man. You're talking a lot about living your passion. You're talking about your success. You're talking about you're living a fulfilled life. So, well, self-reflection. What are your rituals? What are the things you do in daily life to live that fulfilled life, to have that success? Are there any routines? Are there any special things you really practice in life? Or is it only...
The number one thing that I'm completely convinced would work for everyone, the only thing that I'm convinced would work for everyone, it's hard, back to everything we've been talking about, because it doesn't come natural to most people, but it is the ritual is practicing gratitude every morning. So I don't meditate or pray per se, but there's not a morning that I wake up in the world where when I wake up, including the overnight flight, where I don't look at my phone immediately. You know, a lot of people like to wait to look at their phone, which I love You know, remember when I said and, not or? One of the biggest reasons the world has conflict is people keep telling people what they should do, right? Like, I'm very happy that meditation works for you. It may not work for someone else. You can recommend, all I'm doing up here and saying, hey, think about this. But I don't judge anybody when they don't do what I do or what I hope they do. I want it for them. But for me, every morning I grab my phone right away, and if nothing horrible happened, and I let this be very clear, nobody died of the 10 people I love the most. If nothing horrible happened, I am actually incapable of being upset during the day. I could be frustrated, I could be perplexed, I could be for a second upset, but I just don't know how to be upset about anything other than someone you love dying. I just don't think you should. Let me tell you why. I have something very interesting to tell you. When you die, you'll be dead for a very long time.
Are you sure?
Listen, if this whole thing about souls go into, like, I would love to come back as a little Danish girl. But yes, when you die, you will be dead for a long time. Also, I don't know if you know this, you were not born for a very long time. We have, like, even though life is long, and hopefully everybody here lives to at least 100, it's also, if you take a step up, very short. The concept of not squeezing the shit out of it from a happiness standpoint, from a trying standpoint, from an ambitious standpoint, is ludicrous to me. And so I keep it super simple. Nobody died, best day ever. I mean it. To the negative people in my life, there's been some of my friends and family that are negative, that there's two times in my life where I actually said this. I got so frustrated to a family member, so frustrated, so upset, I literally told them, because they were so upset about the dumbest shit in the world, I literally told them that I wished something atrocious happened to them the next day. Just for perspective. We just lack perspective. Like, we complain about ludicrous things. And so, gratitude.
Cool. Behind the stage, I met Laura Seiler. Laura Seiler is a very famous life coach here in Germany. You know her. And we talked about you. I know that she's also following you. And she said, please ask him one question. She follows you for quite a while, for many years, and she sees a development in your life, and she wants to get the answer if it's only a gut feeling or if it's true that you really changed over the years. And she would like to know what means spirituality to you and also for your business.
Sorry. That was much louder than I expected.
Awake.
Wow. that was awesome. You do something new every day. A lot of people have reached out to me in the last 5 years on this. For people that follow me, a lot of people know I'm obsessed with context. I'm obsessed with context. It's why I'm a very good marketer. Making videos on TikTok is different than making videos on LinkedIn. The way I talk to a 22-year-old in Germany is different than the way I'm gonna talk to a 45-year-old in Afghanistan. Context is everything to me. I'm religious about context, which is why I think I'm one of the most successful content producers in the world. It's why I think VaynerMedia is one of the most successful content producers in advertising. When people are like, Gary, I've noticed a big change in you, I remind them that my message is pretty consistent. It's just contextual. If you read Crush It, my first book, What Put Me on the Map, I talk about making $48,000 a year and loving life. That if you were ecstatic with your life and you're making $48,000 a year, you can stop reading this book, because this book is for people that are unhappy and are looking for ways to get out of the job that's making them unhappy. This YouTube and Twitter thing and Facebook thing is gonna be big. Unlike our grandparents, you can do this after hours while you're at home with your kids. This is a big opportunity. Most people saw the young rah, 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 rah. I wrote that book during an economic crisis. For example, if we go into a real, deep global recession, my content's gonna change dramatically. Because what's gonna be needed in that moment is to remind everybody that hard work is part of the equation.
Gary, are you a spiritual person?
Am I a spiritual person? I just said I believed in ghosts. I would tell you that I'm a extremely spiritual person because I'm completely confused by our lack of knowledge around intuition. Just that subject matter has me off the reservation. You know, I'm also spiritual in the way that I don't like to judge people's spirituality. Meaning, I, for example, do not have crystals in my house. But I love that people have crystals in their house because it works for them. I was born in the Soviet Union where religion was banned for 70 years. So for three generations of my family, religion was not practiced. So I am not deeply religious, yet I love that religion is so important for so many. My ultimate spirituality is grounded in my deep, deep love of my fellow man and woman, and that's what I like it for.
How would you define spirituality? What does it mean for you?
For me, spirituality is almost like a sixth sense, like a framework of perspective that is grounded in an energy that is less tangible. You know, back to gray. I wore gray today, if you noticed. I view spirituality as the deepest gray. I think so many people's struggles here in this room are when they're trying to be too black and white. They're unhappy about something, and so they find somebody new on Instagram and they follow his or her formula and they follow it to a T for 4 months and it doesn't work and they're upset. And they think it's their fault. The only fault, if there is even one, is thinking that there is something that is black and white that will fix everything. It's just not how life is.
I personally believe, and I think many others as well, that visions and to work on your own visions, to have a vision, to have a clear North Star in life, and following this North Star, this vision, really creates energy and power in life. I know that you believe in that as well, and you follow an amazing vision. You want to buy the Jets.
That's my fake vision. That's the one that I told everybody to distract them from what I'm trying to actually do.
Oh, you do? What?
I mean it. I am very, remember, selfish and selfless? My selfish vision is actually very selfless, but it's only to two people, me and my mother. My goal of buying the New York Jets, I've never said this publicly in my life, I've said that my goal of buying the Jets is misunderstood publicly a lot, and that my journey to try to buy the Jets is my great love, and it is. But I decided I wanted to buy the Jets as a very young child. When I was 7, we moved to a new town, and there was a lot of boys that were playing American football, and they were Jet fans, and that's how I became a Jet fan. And they all had a Jets jersey, right? I wanted one. I asked my mother for one. We were very poor. We didn't buy that kind of shit. Money was for food and the shelter. Even our clothes were liquor t-shirts that my dad got from the store. We barely even bought clothes. We definitely didn't go on vacation. We never ate out. My mom, when I was sleeping for the next 3 weeks, knitted me a Jets jersey and put the number 5 on it. That's why I always put up the number 5 in all my photos, because that's a head nod to my mother, because without a shadow, you know, my mother lost her mom when she was 5. My mom's DNA is predominantly what's inside of me. Luckily, I took the best stuff from my dad, and so the mix has been very formidable. I have such a gift of communication, but at this point in my life, and pretty much from the beginning, I sit on stages like this because all I want to do for the world is what my mom did for me. This entire keynote that I just gave, this entire keynote that I just gave is everything that my mom instilled in me, and I addressed, as I mature and get older, the things that my mom and I share as a weakness, because I'm trying to do a well-rounded thing. So my goal in life, my North Star in real life, is two things. Selfishly, I want to buy the New York Jets. But I want to buy the New York Jets because when I do, I want to put in front of the stadium, because I still have it, the sweater that my mom knitted for me. And I wanted to say, from not being able to afford a jersey to buying the entire team. That's what I want to do selfishly. More importantly, what I want to accomplish, what my North Star is selflessly, is there's so many people that want to be successful in life. I think success is inner peace. I really do. However, I am also a purebred 100% entrepreneur. I love, I'm looking at Andrew, Dustin was with me. If you saw what Dustin saw, that on Thursday, it was announced that VFriends, my intellectual property, raised $50 million from Andreessen Horowitz, the most important venture capitalist in the world, to build this thing. That is a very big business accomplishment. What was I doing while that announcement was hitting the world? I was standing behind a table selling pieces of cardboard for $10 a piece and haggling with people who said, I'll give you 8, and I said, but I need 9. I love the process of being an entrepreneur. I love being an entrepreneur. I love the game of making money. I don't need the money to fill my insecurities. My mom took care of that. I need it because I'm keeping score and it's fun and it's a game. But I know hundreds of millions of people will look up to me in the course of my life. I know this to be true. What my North Star is to teach the world that you can be an alpha, a killer in business, win. And you can do it by being an extremely nice person. I believe that is something the world does not believe right now. I believe the world thinks that you have to have sharp elbows, that you have to crush some people's souls, that you have to hurt people, that you have to stand on people's backs to get to the top of the mountain. My friends, this is the biggest non-truth in the world. There are two ways to build the biggest building in town. One, and it is very common right now, and it is definitely the way politics works, and it is the way oftentimes religion and school and many other things are packaged. Civil service is beautiful. Politics, doing what I'm about to tell you, is atrocious. Education is beautiful. School systems doing what I'm about to tell you is atrocious. Religion is beautiful. Religious leaders doing what I'm about to tell you is atrocious. And here is the story. There are two ways to build the biggest thing. One, by tearing down everybody else's building. That's what all of those things are doing. Or two, what I am in the process of doing as an entrepreneur, by just being talented enough to build the biggest building.
Gary, time is over. So many questions left. Maybe you come back once.
I would love that.
Thank you very much for joining us here in Cologne. You came from New York only for that talk. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Gary Vaynerchuk.
Thank you.